On in our series, looking at God's faithfulness, and we've been in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 the last few weeks, and we're going to finish up chapter 6 this week. And I put off this sermon from last week. I didn't really want to get into some of these issues or topics on Father's Day. It just didn't feel appropriate to bash dads or make them feel guilty and all. Because I want us to all feel that sense of conviction if that's where we're at, regardless if you're a dad, husband, or whatever. But I've chosen the title Living by Design, and as a person who went to school as a biology major, I was confronted with
after 5 long years, I finally
the theory of
from
evolution
University
on a regular
with a
basis.
Degree in administration
and as a Christian,
and
that was a real struggle for me. In fact, I had to
right
just
there.
Simply regurgitate the information because in my heart of hearts, I just didn't believe it. I couldn't subscribe to that theory because I know what Scripture tells me. And as a Christian, as a believer, God created the heavens and the earth by the spoken word and by the sheer will of who He is. And so it was a struggle. And so what has come up over the last few years or recent years is the theory of intelligent design. And it's
the National
not necessarily
School Project is a nonprofit
creationism
organization
with
a strong
God
desire
emphasis,
to teach Christian
but
club leaders
it is intended
how to
try to look at
the
empirical
to
evidence
the on their campus,
that
as
creation
well develop,
offers or that
well
the world offers
relationships
and
with the local
scientifically
community and
see that
but
there
while
is
we help these club leaders to plan
a possibility,
and execute school-wide
a theory
events
that
rallies,
all
we
that we see didn't happen by
leaders
chance
grow stronger
or by
in
simple
their faith,
natural selection,
prayer,
that there had to be some sort
God
of intelligent cause.
And here you can see a
and
picture
as Christians
of
and as creationists, you know,
students,
many have kind of
as well as the
hitched on to that idea and that concept. Well, clearly, the intelligent designer is God. And as Christians, we know that.
Her name is Emily Barnard.
But there is that working theory out there that takes a look at
the
empirical evidence
God calls us to take our eyes off of the world's
that it's
vision
not
of
just
success
simply by
because
chance.
The world
that there
because the work we are called to is not the world's
in all
work
of creation,
it is His.
In all of God that
instead
we see
of
around
feeling
us
discouraged by
and again,
higher
as
expectations
I said, as
not
Christians,
being met,
we approach it from a biblical perspective and from a faith perspective, and we see that being God Himself.
He loves and He knows what
so
He's
that
doing.
Said,
so all glory be
how
to God.
Are we to live?
Any work
God
done for His kingdom is good work in His
as
eyes.
Men and women,
even if
as,
our plan doesn't
beings,
work out right, His
to
plan
live
is
in
the
a certain
only
way,
one that matters.
To live by
and to
His
hear
design.
My student Emily say that even though a year ago
today,
she would have probably said, we want 100 students
says,
at every rally.
At Christ,
and for
so
her to hear that,
God
for
in
her
body.
To say and realize that
and it's, this whole,
it's about God.
Discussion that Paul
has
about sexual morality
done,
and all
but
that, but the bottom line is this:
ago,
that we are to glorify
to
God
here and share with you about
with
the
our
rallies
lives.
West Torrance and
physically,
Peninsula High School
intellectually,
and today
emotionally,
I want to briefly update
however
you about
God
the
allows
that
us to do. We our goal and our intent, our design,
starting at West,
is to bring
day
honor
in
and glory
and day
to God.
The club leaders,
Westminster Catechism
the
says, we are to glorify God and enjoy Him forever.
Show me what it means to serve faithfully, wholeheartedly, and passionately.
It's such
even
a
though there were
concept,
many roadblocks
and
setbacks,
it is
especially
so broad,
the night before,
the problem
and the past
is, and
to
as
cancel,
you see in your outlines there,
over
the
three lunchtime rallies, a total of 159 students heard the gospel.
Mentality. And
six
so
students
I
recommended their lives
to
Christ,
fun bumper
and one
stickers
student
and
dedicated
to share
their
with
life
briefly.
To Christ for the
we'll
very first
zip through
time.
These. I like
this
one because it takes a play on the kind of coexist thing, but it has the Marvel and the DC superheroes and just... Can
then
we all
at
just
Peninsula
get along
High School, which
between
is my
these
alma
two
mater,
comic book universes? I'm
we
having an out-of-money experience. I thought was a...
In
was
the span
a good
of
one, particularly as
and
someone who has put one child through college and in the process of putting and paying for a second
day in and day out
child
also
to go through
kind of
college.
Always
so that out of money experience
this,
is real.
Sure
this one was
come,
funny for me
sure
because
there
was that trend
weeks,
of stick figure
amazing.
Families. And that nobody really cares about your stick figure
day,
family.
Or a few days before the first day.
For someone who enjoyed
I
math,
had an ER
says calculus and alcohol and calculus don't mix, don't drink and derive.
I lost feeling in my left side and my right side of the body.
You have to think about that for
and
a little
I
bit.
I really wasn't sure what was going to happen.
As I'm getting older, this one definitely resonates. Be nice to your kids,
came.
They'll choose your nursing home. So,
and we were already ecstatic.
And
even though I wasn't there, even though a lot of things happened, we saw
we have a daughter who is
come.
A graphic design artist,
then
and
on
so
the, next
the
day,
fact that no one understands
daughter,
you doesn't mean you're an artist.
A total of 45 people came and filled the classroom.
But there again, some hard truths. A few more here. In this desire to be green and drive electric cars and hybrid cars,
their lunch time and fill the
this one was, I have my carbon
the
offset.
The pastor led an altar call at the very last minute.
He wasn't attached to their car.
But
so
the Holy Spirit put
there.
On both of our
this
hearts
one was
at
on the back
exact
of
same time
a minivan.
Saying, open your
so
eyes and I want
cool.
you to see what's about to happen. At that moment,
you know, that, I think that hit too close to home. Some of you drive
without
that.
Hesitation
don't feel
said,
like that's funny.
I want to believe,
I believe in a better
Christ,
world where
Lord
chickens can cross the road without having their motives questioned.
And really, that is probably the greatest thing that could have happened with
and,
my two club leaders.
And this one makes
right
me
there.
Laugh. If you're happy, you know it, clap your...
Their names are Brandon. Brandon's holding the pizza boxes.
Disney put out a movie called Meet
Alex
the Robinsons,
is just standing there, and
where
the
there
two
is
of
a
them
T-Rex, and he's like,
are
I've got
probably the shyest
and
people I could have ever met. I'm pretty shy, but they're
we sing that
far
song
beyond shy. The first
happy
meeting we had,
know,
I said, hi, I'm Lauren. Like,
it's a church thing. And then
like,
the last one here, don't believe
what's
everything
your
you think.
Name? And they're like, oh, I'm Brandon. I'm like, okay.
And I finished with that one because there is
but
this idea that we can just kind
of
live in this bumper sticker mentality.
This happen, and I can't wait to plan
and we have these little phrases that we just kind of are gravitate
that
towards that
but in addition
that
to
we hear
West
these sound bites
the
on the news and on television, we want to live by that.
Year,
but when it says glorify God, then this should be the bumper sticker
the gospel,
that we have on our cars.
And
that
nine
our life
students
purpose
dedicate their lives
is just
to
simply
Christ
this,
across the total
glorify
of six
God.
Schools.
Through
these
and
events,
so
I saw the need
to avoid
for the gospel
bumper sticker mentality
and
living,
on the high school
if we're to
campus,
live by God's design,
God
that we're designed to glorify Him,
the national school project.
One of the ideas
now
is this,
the national
that the power all resides
is not
within
only
me.
In the South
I'm in
Bay,
control. You can't tell me how to live
Empire,
my life. And that's kind
San
of one
Gabriel
of those
Valley,
mentalities that,
Viola,
and attitudes
Northern
that
California,
we see in our
Tucson,
world today. And Paul
Arizona,
addresses
and
it with verse 12.
Since
these two phrases, all things are lawful for me.
I got this 116,841
students like, well,
have
I can
heard
do
the gospel,
I want.
And 5,926 students have dedicated
not
their
not
lives to Christ.
Not helpful, but I will not be dominated by everything. And he reminds them of that
and
because
also,
that word lawful and that
August,
word dominated
CEO,
come
Warren
from
Willis,
that same
old,
Greek word that speaks
him
of power
and, his wife
and
to
control.
Dallas, Texas,
he says, the saying of the
there.
Day, the bumper sticker of the day says, I
with
can do whatever
said,
I want. I have
it
the power.
Is our goal
I have control.
To continue
the power
reaching
resides
students
within
with the
me.
Gospel until
don't
every student
tell me
has heard. We
how
still
to live
have
my
a
life.
Long way until
and we can
every
live that way, but
the
problem is that
heard
not everything
to the
is beneficial to us. Paul says that right out.
While
in
I
fact,
know the percentage
you know,
of college
that,
students
well,
with the job
I
out of
can
college
be control,
is really
so
low,
I'm not going to be controlled by anything.
I truly thank God for allowing NSP to give
it's
to offer
so
me a full time job
line, and
as
all of a sudden,
human resources
we are then dominated, we are then controlled.
Although
by the
I will
very
not be working directly
we
with the students. Jonathan Cordova over there.
He continues on here in Colossians.
He has decided to meet regularly
this is the truth,
with the students
that
in the
is
South
in Christ
in the
and God. By
and
him all things are created. The real control doesn't reside with me.
And truly,
but it actually resides
there
with God.
There is no one better to have
that through him
than,
and for him
in this role.
All things
he
are created.
He knows what he's doing.
He's before all things
leader.
And in him
he's a great
all
friend,
things
and
hold
I know
together.
He's going to make
in
the South
Christ,
Bay just
all things
incredible.
Are in the power
wow.
of his
so
hand.
So thank you, Jonathan.
You know, we sing the song, he's got the whole no, world you. In his hands. And it's a wonderful little
yes.
you know kid song that we sing growing up. But the truth of that
this
God sustains us. In his hands.
But as for me, in addition to transitioning into this full-time job,
that should be
I have the opportunity
comforting
to
for us,
enter a season
that
of
we
support
don't have
raising
to be
and gather a team
wrestling
of
control out of his hands. John 15:5 tells us that if we just simply abide in him,
even standing here and
if we just
you guys,
rest
is quite
in
difficult.
Him and he
because
and us,
I have to approach this with a heart of humility
then we
and
can
humbleness.
Be effective. We can be
but
fruitful.
I am confident that this
the
is where God
is
wants me to be.
In this bumper sticker living kind of way,
even
we want to be
the
one that determines
the students,
everything,
be able to
calls the shots,
be, behind the
be
scenes
in control.
And love these students from
and,
a different
and as someone
perspective,
who likes control, I get it.
Even
I,
to love
there,
upon
there's
the South
something
Bay
that is very humbling
of course,
about
the most
releasing
important thing
control
is to have your prayers.
To others.
But I sincerely hope to have your financial support
but there's
support
also something very
well.
Humbling about releasing control to God.
Therefore,
and that's what
I
God
have
desires
prepared
of
some
us.
Envelopes and some little prayer cards
if we were to
on
live
the backside table.
By design, to glorify God, It requires that humility.
But if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to talk to me. I would love to connect with you.
Another saying was this, staying in the moment. He goes on and says one of the other phrases is like, the food is for the stomach and the stomach for food. You know, there's all of this that's going on, and you know, live for today. If it feels good, do it. Enjoy the moment.
That I will trust him completely.
We see that mentality around us as well.
And lastly, that
I'm not
going to
worry about tomorrow. I'm just going
to
live for today. He with the most toys wins. Kind of thing. We just stay in the moment. But the reality is we know that we are an eternal soul.
Even when I accepted the job,
that today is the scripture tells us is just our lives are just like a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow.
But I know that this is where God has called me to
be. It's truly eternal is our soul and our future.
But thank you for giving me this time to share with you about my heart, what I'm going to do.
What is so staying in the moment, he's like, God's going to destroy both food and our stomachs. All of this is temporary. And yeah, we can enjoy the moment, but there are consequences to that at times. And we have to remember that God has eternity in our future, that we are eternal beings. A couple times in Proverbs, Solomon writes, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. You know, there's this thinking that we try to propagate, and like, but ultimately, it's going to be destroyed. When we try to do things our own way, be in control, think the way we think, it tends to lead us potentially down this path to destruction. And so another proverb says this, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. God looks and sees. We may think that we've got it together, and we may think that we're doing it right, but sometimes it's more in that sense of selfishness that we really are acting. We're not acting to glorify God. We're acting in order to glorify ourselves. Or to achieve some things on our own. So here's the question for us to consider as we move forward. In what ways have I chosen this kind of bumper sticker living over the purpose that God has designed for me in living in a way to glorify Him? In what areas of my life have I bought into the culture around me and lived in that fashion rather than with the mindset of glorifying God with my very life? Genesis 1:28, he quotes this later on in our passage, speaking of the design for sexual relationships. Part of our design as human beings is at the creation, he says, be fruitful and multiply and have dominion over the fish and all the things, every living thing that lives on this earth. There are two things that he told Adam and Eve. It is be fruitful and have children and just fill this earth with human beings. And that's why we are given the desires that we have, why we're given the sexual organs that we have, the physical bodies we have are for this purpose. But within the context that God establishes. And that's where he comes into this. The body's not meant for immorality, but for the Lord. And the definition of sexual morality is basically this. When we take our physical bodies and we engage in activities and things that are outside of God's design and God's purpose, then that is sexual morality. And God's design and purpose for these physical bodies is to be in that intimate, loving, committed, covenantal relationship between a man and a woman. Now the world is trying to tell us that there are other definitions of love. And I didn't say love. I said to be in this covenantal, intimate relationship between a husband and a wife for the purposes of glorifying God to fulfill this design. And next week we'll talk a little bit more about marriage as we go into chapter 7. But this idea of bridling our appetites. A bridle is that headpiece that you put on a horse and to be able to control its direction and put that bit in its mouth. But it's that idea that we ought to be able to try to control these natural desires and appetites and urges that we have. There's no shame in being sexually attracted to someone. But how we express that, God has spoken in his word the design for that. And again, we'll go more into detail next week, but it's that intimate covenantal relationship with one another. It's like a man shall leave his father and mother. They'll become one flesh. They'll become unified, not just in a physical way, but in a spiritual and an emotional union as well. One of the things that going through ministry as a youth pastor, I would remind students this. They talk to you about practicing safe sex and all that, but there's nothing that will ever protect your heart. There is no contraceptive. There's nothing that will protect your heart other than an intimate, covenantal marriage relationship. He says at the end of that, it's like talking about Adam and Eve. They were naked to one another, but there was no shame. There should be no shame when by design we are engaged in this intimate action and sexual activity between a husband and wife. There's no shame in that. And when shame enters the picture, whether it is that or any other form of sexual morality, if they're feeling a tinge of shame and guilt, then probably you've crossed the line. In fact, you have crossed the line. Because by design, it is a beautiful thing between a husband and a wife in an intimate covenantal relationship. The Ten Commandments. Don't commit adultery. Do not have a relationship outside of marriage. It's in the top ten. These are the ten things that are written in stone, given to the nation of Israel. That's how much God values marriage. And he goes on in Hebrews 13:4, let the marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterous. It is of great value that this relationship, and as again, we'll talk about next week, because of what the marriage relationship signifies, not only between husband and wife, but as a testimony to the relationship between God and his church. The other reason we need to bridle our appetites is because we are the body of Christ. He goes on there in chapter 6 and says that why would you join the body of Christ with a prostitute? And he's very, very direct, because in Corinth, there was a lot of temple prostitution. There was part of the pagan worship engaged men with the temple prostitutes. And he's like, why are you, the body of Christ, the church, willing to do that? To take Christ with you into this pagan worship? Yes, it's sexually immoral, but it's pagan worship. We are the body of Christ. It says in 12:5, although we're one body and individually members one of another, we also then are bringing our brothers and sisters into those kind of relationships and into those situations. I am now, you know, here in our Chinese church, family honor matters. And we kind of bristle the fact when someone within our family does something that brings dishonor to the family. And that's Asian culture. That's other cultures. That's Middle Eastern culture. That's culture. When we bring dishonor to the family. And so he's saying, why are you bringing dishonor to the body of Christ, the family of God, by engaging in this activity that is outside of God's design? We are the body of Christ. So bridle your appetites. Philippians 2:4, do nothing out of selfish ambition, because that's what it is. It is selfishness when we do these things, but count others more significant. Look out for the interests of others. If we are truly the body of Christ, then I care that what I do impacts you as a brother or sister in Christ. When we were living in Bakersfield, one of the things that broke my heart the most is anytime we would hear about a pastor that just fell for morality issues and had stepped out of ministry. Because here's the thing, it's such a small town feel that we kind of knew each other, and we knew that pastor, or we knew that church, and others who were not Christians knew that church or may have heard of that pastor. And when one of us falls, it impacts all of us. And now everyone's looking at us, particularly if it was a youth pastor. All of a sudden now everyone's looking at us as, are you like him? Are you going to do that like he did? And sometimes we forget that our testimony is not just simply with the circle of family and friends around us. Our testimony can impact what others think of the body of Christ in general. We are the body of Christ. We need to bridle our appetites. So, do I seek to satisfy my own appetite, or do I seek to satisfy God's will? Remember, God's will is that we would glorify him and enjoy him forever. Am I seeking to be selfish, or am I seeking to just honor God? The third thing we have, it comes here in verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. The idea that God has promised and has given to us his presence in the Holy Spirit. So we need to connect with the Holy Spirit, with his presence. This enables us to live by design. Jeremiah 50 verse 5 says that they shall ask the way to Zion with faces toward it, saying, come, let's join ourselves to the Lord in an everlasting covenant that will never be forgotten. It's this intent that there's going to come a point where people are going to want to connect with God, to connect with his body, connect with his presence. In Zechariah, he tells us that the nations will join themselves to the Lord, and in that day they shall be my people, and I'll dwell in the midst of them. God with us. Emmanuel. That was the name given to Jesus, that God is now here in the midst of humanity. And there's going to come a day when we as his children are going to once again be in, he's going to dwell in our presence, and we shall know the Lord of hosts. He says, well, send me to you. So there's God's presence and there's God's guidance. When we connect with the Holy Spirit, we reap the benefit and the blessing of both. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct you. He will make your path straight. He will guide you. When we connect to the Holy Spirit, it enables us to then know how we ought to live our lives by design to glorify him. John 16:13 speaks of the presence of Christ, presence of the Holy Spirit. He is going to send this helper, the Spirit of truth, and he'll guide us into truth. He'll guide us in understanding what his word says. He'll guide us on how to interpret that and live and apply that in our lives, in our daily living, once again, to be able to glorify him. So here's our question. How is God's presence and guidance most evident in my life? What do people see in me? Do they see God's presence in my life? Do they see my connectedness to the Holy Spirit? And it's going to show in how I live my life. Paul's addressing a very specific area of sin, sexual immorality. But it could be anything. It could be anything that draws attention to myself as opposed to draws attention to the God that I serve. Am I glorifying myself in my actions, in my life, and my behaviors? Or am I shining a light on the magnificent glory of who God is? Is God's presence and his guidance evident in me? So, here's our few things that we want to finish with, and we'll be done today. We are designed to glorify God and enjoy him forever. This is the design that God has for us. Now, he's saying, Paul specifically is dealing with the issue of sexual morality, but as I said, God's design is that we ought to glorify God with our bodies, with our minds, with our hearts, with our actions. However it's going to show up in us, God's presence and his, oops, where is it? There it is, there. God's presence in our lives gives us the power to live by his design. Because we have the Holy Spirit within us, what an amazing gift that is, that God is with us every single day, and he's there to guide and to direct and to convict and to admonish us. I mean, it's not always, oh, pat on the back, you're doing well. Maybe sometimes it's, you know, that attitude that you were showing, that thing that you were watching, that thing that you were doing, Jay, that's not going to glorify me. God's presence, his Holy Spirit within me, gives me the power to live my life by his design. And he gives that to all of us if we're believers. Some of us have connected with the Holy Spirit. Some of us haven't. But that's what is available. Because of what Christ did on the cross, the offer of eternal life and his ever presence, his eternal presence in us, enables us to live a life that glorifies him. We're reaching the end of our time. Sorry, Jonathan, but we're gonna dismiss in prayer.